Good morning.
Good morning.
I am going to start just with a word of prayer, more for me than you all, but just to kind of get myself together here.
Pray here.
Lord, I have no idea what today is going to bring, but I know this to be true. My life is in your hands.
Yes.
Wherever you are, I want to be with you. Show me the opportunities you have for me. I don't know who I'm going to run into today, but help me see the opportunities you bring.
My God.
Show me the obstacles I will be encountering and prepare me to honor you instead of complaining when they come. I want to honor you. I want to be obedient. I do not want to sin. Help me see these obstacles as part of your plan to mature me. Let this congregation see and hear more of you and less of me. Let them receive something they can use to help them along their way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not one for winging it, so I have my thoughts written down. There's a whole lot of pages here, but I promise it won't take me long to get through them. Give an honor to my God, my Savior, my Lord, Jesus Christ. Recognizing Pastor Jackson and his role as leader of this flock.
Bless your heart.
And welcome to all those assembled under the sound of my voice. For those of you who know me well, you know that I do not like to speak in a public forum in front of adults. Speaking in front of students, I have about 800 at Baker Butler. Speaking in front of them is a different story. It's a little easier for me because they aren't quite as critical. So with that, keep that in mind.
Come on here. Amen.
Now let's get to this message. Today I'm going to talk to the youth and the adults about 3 points. The value of time and time management, our role as Christian parents, and your role as a Christian student.
My.
So let's talk about this first point. How much is too much? I'm going to start with a few trivia questions, and you can just throw out your answers if you have them. How much time per month does the average American spend social networking?
My God.
All right, choice number one, 2 hours. Choice number two, 1.7 hours. Choice number three, 9.3 hours.
Right.
Or choice number four, 6.9 hours. 6.9 hours is the correct answer. All right, number two. How much time per month does the average American spend watching television offline, like actual television? That can include Hulu or Netflix. We'll throw those in there too. All right, choice number one, 12.5 hours. Choice number two, 59.4 hours.
Right.
Choice number three, 17.3 hours. Or choice number four, 23.9 hours. The correct answer is 59.4 hours. All right, question number three. The peak time for watching television online is one, on a lunch break. Number two, right before bed. Number three, during the work day. Or number four, right after work. During the work day. Choice number three. Question number four. According to a report by NBC News, if you added up the minutes spent on social media in the United States, how many years would they add up to?
Wow.
Choice number one, 230,060 years. Choice number two, 9,612 years. Choice number three, 143,462 years. Or choice number four, 64,586 years. Choice number one, 230,060 years. And the last question, how much time does the average American spend on Netflix per month? Now, I don't watch Netflix, so I don't know how this works. But choice number one, 14.2 hours. Choice number two, 10 hours. Choice number three, 7.6 hours. Or choice number four, 13.7 hours. Choice number two, 10 hours is the correct answer. Now, this information was found on, it didn't come from my head, but CNBC.com and Mashable.com /social media time. And I can give you that address if you want to look it up. Now, let's consider time in terms of money. If you were carrying $86,400 and $10 of it blew away, you lost $10 of it, would you put down the $86,390 that you have left to chase it or find it?
Wow.
Or would you just let it go?
Wow.
Realistically, most of us would probably let it go and hope that it fell into the hands of someone who needed it. We each have 86,400 seconds in a day.
Wow.
Our time is more valuable than money because we can't get it back. Once we spend it, it's gone forever. So when our thoughts are unproductive or unimportant, we lose 10 seconds. Then we throw away the 86,390 seconds we have left when we engage in something else that's a total waste of time, or what the Bible refers to as dead works. Most of us would agree that we live in a society where the tendency to succumb to instant gratification prevails because satisfying our immediate desires are more tangible, pleasurable, and instantly gratifying. We don't want to wait for anything. Now let's think about this. If we have to wait too long in a drive-thru, we feel mad, we get upset. We feel annoyed if we have to sit and wait in traffic. We feel frustrated when we're at an amusement park and have to wait in line to get on a ride. We feel anxious when we have to wait for any kind of test results. We feel impatient if we have to wait on a delivery to arrive and Amazon is partly to blame for that. And let's not even get started with how aggravated we feel when we have to wait to take care of any business at the DMV. Now indulge me for a minute and let me jump back into my role as a fifth grade English teacher. Think of the adjectives I use to describe our emotions. Can you name them? I'll give you a hint. I mentioned six different adjectives. I heard most of them. All right, so let's talk about that. Mad. The definition of mad is very angry. Annoyed. That was the second adjective I used, and that definition is slightly angry or irritated. Frustrated. The definition is feeling or expressing distress and annoyance, especially because of inability to change or achieve something. I talked about being anxious. That definition is to experience worry, unease, or nervousness, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Impatient means having or showing a tendency to be quickly irritated or provoked. And aggravated means made more severe in recognition of the seriousness of an offense or circumstances. Now, if wasting time evokes these negative emotions, then why do we do it?
Huh.
If time is money, why don't we manage it with the same diligence and forethought that we put into managing our budget? We act like we hate wasting time, yet we as a society voluntarily waste time with people or activities that are of no benefit to us long term. We rarely think about the time we waste on needless things because, admittedly, when we're young, we don't necessarily know what we value or what it will bring to our lives and what benefit it will be to us long term. But time is valuable, and we could all benefit from learning to manage our time better. The beginning of a new school year is the perfect time to develop strong time management skills. Whether you are a student in elementary, middle, or high school, or if you want to graduate with grades above D's this year, you're going to have to learn time management. If you learn good time management strategies now, it will be easier to manage your time when you advance to the next grade level or go to college, or if you're not college bound, when you go to work. Psalm 90 verse 20 says, Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom.
Yes.
While we may not know the exact number of days we have to live, we do know that we don't have forever to live on this earth. So keeping that in mind, that we have a small number of days that make up our life, are you spending your days as a planner who takes care of the important things before moving on to do the fun things? Or are you a procrastinator who pushes everything of importance to the last possible minute? Are you intentional with how you spend your time? Or do you just let whatever happens, happen? And most importantly, where does God fit into all of that?
Huh.
Now let's consider Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now for students, and all of us have been students at some time, have you ever had a test for which you didn't study?
Oh my.
You knew it was happening, you knew what to study, you had the time and resources, but you just didn't. Maybe you didn't because life got in the way of studying, or maybe because your priorities weren't exactly where they should have been. Either way, when you find yourself unprepared to take the test, what typically happens? What do we typically say? But I know for me, I said, Lord, please bring that wisdom, bring that knowledge. Give me the knowledge to pass this test. I'm guilty of sending up that prayer on more than one occasion myself. But do you ever think that maybe God already gave you the wisdom for the test?
Oh, my God.
Wisdom would have been using the time and the brain God gave you to study.
That's good.
This verse says to be careful to live as wise. How does that relate to time management? Like this. How you spend your hours adds up to how you spend your days. And how you spend your days adds up to how you spend your life. So if you're spending your days wasting time and avoiding what you need to do, that is essentially how you are spending your life. Managing your time in a wise way is a must. So here are a few simple ways to get the most out of your time. Number one, make God your number one priority.
Come on here.
Make the most of every opportunity. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is.
Yes.
And the best way to understand what the Lord's will is to spend time with the Lord.
Come on here.
No matter how busy you get, no matter how much you have to do, no matter what, spending time with God needs to be your number one priority. If that means you have to get up a little earlier, then get up earlier. If that means you have to sacrifice something extra, then so be it. This is one choice that you cannot afford to neglect.
Yeah.
Number two, prioritize the things in your life. Regardless of how you may feel, your education should be your priority right now. That means that for the school year, classes, tests, papers, and projects come before late night movies or evenings and weekends spent playing video games with your friends. Number three, hold yourself accountable. After you know what your schedule will be, pray over it.
Huh.
Ask God to help you achieve all you need to achieve in the time that you need to achieve it.
My.
Ask Him to help you manage your time better. Then find someone who will hold you accountable. Cherish and protect your time as if it was the last food on earth. Know your values and priorities and make deliberate choices as to how you spend and use your time. And give yourself permission to avoid people and activities that waste your time.
My God.
Now let's move on to point number two, our role as Christian parents. For most Christian parents, our biggest concern for our children is how to protect them from the world and keep pointing them to Jesus Christ during these susceptible and impressionable years. Children's minds are like sponges. They soak up everything around them. They learn quickly and repeat what they hear. In order to capture their hearts at a young age, we start training our children early. We teach them Bible verses. We pray with them before bed. We take them to church and pray over them continually. But as our children have to venture out into the real world It becomes obvious that opportunities to see and experience sin are everywhere.
My God.
In curriculum content, with classmates, with internet access, field trips, birthday parties, organized sports, and after-school activities. They're all influential in the lives of our children. Their impressionable minds are exposed to thousands of new ideas as they begin to independently interact with the world. And because our kids are human, they ponder and entertain these new ideas. So as parents, what do? First, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go.
Yeah.
And when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Yeah.
Train up a child in the way that God wants him to go, not the way you want him to go.
Come on here.
When my brothers and I were growing up, my dad used to say, if we all came here knowing everything and didn't need to be taught, God wouldn't have given you parents. Scripture is unmistakably clear that raising a child is a full-time responsibility. Parents are called to equip themselves for the struggle in holding relentlessly and fearlessly to the word of God.
Speak.
Proverbs 22 and 15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. A young child can learn and begin to practice basic values such as respect for authority, courtesy, honesty, respect for property, respect for life, responsibility. The simplest way for the child to learn the penalty of disobedience is with the sting of loving correction. And I can say, from experience, I got stung a lot. Now, I'm not saying that parents should beat their children into obedience or compliance. What I am saying is that parents are called to train and love their children, to listen to them, to show them right and wrong, and lead them in their walk with Christ. If you refuse to carry out your God-commanded responsibility to train up the child into habits of goodness from the earliest possible opportunity, you, your child, your family, and the members of society your child comes in contact with are in for a long, rough ride. Second, just because we can't protect our children from all things doesn't mean all things should be permissible.
Right.
God's word gives us a lot of insight into what honors and dishonors him. Our kids need to understand that if whatever they are interested in doing, seeing, or participating in goes against God's words, they shouldn't do it. Let Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 be your guide. The verse reads, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The devil is real and is actively working to cause doubt and uncertainty in the hearts of our kids, and they don't have the wisdom or spiritual maturity to know what's best for them.
Say it.
But we do.
Say it.
Our children need to know that Jesus is the answer to every uncertainty, every fear, every temptation they will face. Going back to school can be frightening for a lot of children. They may struggle with learning, with peer pressure, or with making friends. We need to help our children turn to Jesus when they are struggling, and the best way for them to learn this is to see it in us. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul tells the Corinthian believers to follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. But positive or negative, our children are going to imitate what they see. Have you ever heard the quote, if we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to? As a parent of two high school graduates and a public school administrator, I know firsthand how difficult school is for students. They are facing temptations, they are exposed to worldly things, and can tell us a whole lot about things that we never knew about until we were grown. While they're in our homes and in our schools, as our children head back to school this year, take a moment to reiterate to our children that while there are many things that they think matter now, Jesus still matters most.
Yes.
And my last point, students, your role as a Christian student. Being a good student requires diligence and hard work. But being a Christian student requires much more. The Christian student prioritizes their identity as a Christian before their identity as a student. The identity of being a Christian should affect every area of their life.
My God.
So although they are in the world, they are not of the world. And this must show in their behavior and attitude to others. The Christian student serves as an ambassador of God's kingdom. Each Christian student represents the kingdom of God wherever they are, wherever they're studying, and it must ensure that the people around them know about the kingdom and are invited to become its citizens. Studying is a part of the kingdom's business. Therefore, a student serves God by studying diligently. When Christian students excel in their studies, they bring glory to God, and the knowledge they acquire, they are equipped to educate others and lead them to Christ. Excellence is the hallmark of the kingdom. Paul writes to his spiritual son in 1 Timothy 4:12 to set an example for others to follow. That should be the aim of every Christian student. So every Christian student should aim to live a life of diligence, having a strong work ethic and the commitment to persevere in studies even when challenges arise. It is about putting in the effort needed to achieve excellence, not for personal glory, but as a way of honoring God through your work. Mm-hmm. In line with Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, which says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, yes, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance,
yes,
for ye serve the Lord Christ." A Christian student does not give up easily, but will keep at a task until it is done.
Amen.
Decorum, behaving respectfully and appropriately, reflecting Christ's teachings and interactions with peers and teachers, and during participation in school activities. A Christian student should also be committed to your faith and educational goals. This involves not only striving for academic success, but also seeking to grow spiritually, being consistent in your commitment to God and his teachings, and living out your faith in a way that is evident to everyone around you. A Christian student should be honest in your academic work, avoiding plagiarism and cheating, honest in your communication and in your interactions with others, reflecting the honesty and truthfulness of Christ. A Christian student should show genuine concern, compassion, and kindness to those in need, reflecting Jesus' command to love our neighbors as ourselves. A Christian student should exercise patience with yourself and others, as well as understanding that growth and learning are processes that take time. A Christian student should maintain an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude for the opportunities and blessings received, recognizing them as gifts from God.
Yeah.
A grateful student is diligent to complete tasks conscientiously, seeing them as opportunities to bring glory to God. A Christian student should operate in humility, recognizing your limitations and valuing the contributions of others. Don't be too proud to ask for help, and don't look down on those who need your help.
Nah.
A Christian student should operate in prayer, praying without ceasing. Wise Christian students will ask God for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the spirit of excellence, in addition to studying diligently and working conscientiously. As I close this message today, I encourage you to embrace all the new things you will learn this year, but don't forget that Christian students should be diligent, decorous, things you have to do, there are going to be things that you want to do, and there are going to be things that God calls you to do.
Nah.
If you adopt and maintain a growth mindset, and those of us are in education, students are in classes now, I know you've heard that growth mindset, the mindset of continuous growth, using your work to honor him, Know that God will move with intentionality to develop the gifts, knowledge, and skills he intended you to have and use for his service. And when you operate in your gifts, you have the opportunity to point people to Jesus.
My God.
The world needs you.
Yes.
And what you have to offer. Every interaction is an opportunity to make a positive impact.
Yes.
Therefore, be mindful of your words and actions. Make sure that what you say and do aligns with your values and intentions. Be present in the moment. Fully engage with those around you. Listen attentively and respond with empathy and care. And consider how you can contribute to the well-being of others. Look beyond yourself and find ways to make a positive difference in the lives of those you encounter. By doing these things, we not only align ourselves with our highest values and intentions, but also open ourselves up to a deeper connection with God. Yeah. Through mindfulness, presence, and a focus on the well-being of others, we embody the principles of love, compassion, and service that many believe are reflections of God's greater purpose. Yeah. To our students and to our parents, you've got this and God's got you. Whatever you're working on or striving for, you have the strength and ability to succeed. With that, I wish you an amazing school year filled with growth, learning, and success.